So I think it's a nice segue to the hymn that we had. Maybe perhaps we can just touch a little bit on 2 Timothy chapter 2 before we move into the armor of God. And we read these portions earlier. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. I'll just read them in the interest of time. Thou, therefore, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him or enlisted him to be a good soldier. And then let's turn over to, just for expedient purposes, to Ephesians chapter 6. Perhaps we can have someone read Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10 to verse 18.
Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we did not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints.
Thank you.
So, in the first session, we had our boot camp. This is really where you were instructed in the cost of being enlisted in the army of God, of being a true disciple of the Lord Jesus. They take you and they kind of wean you from everything. They program you so you will be able to function in a proper way. Now, in Christianity, the Lord Jesus have great respect for you. He wants you to voluntarily become a disciple. A couple of questions came out around lunchtime. One of them is really, is the matter of a discipleship is one-time deal? Like, I get saved, it's one time. I accept the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior, and then I am saved, and I'm secure for eternity, because it all depends on Him. But how about discipleship? Is that one-time deal? I said, Lord, I want to be your disciple, and then, like, that's it, I'm a disciple now? And really, discipleship is a daily thing. It is a costly thing. Uncle John said it, salvation is free, discipleship is costly. It cost me something to be a disciple. It requires certain things that I have to give up. Certain things that I have to attach myself to. Certain delight that I find myself delight in. And certain pleasure I find myself have no really use for. And what they did when they pulled these marine people, they start taking away from them everything, the comfort of life. Stand outside in the cold. I mean, who wanted to do that? Go in the cold water, carry heavy stuff, do all of... Why? They are deprived them of the comfort, denying self for their country, and for their comrade. That's what they are programmed to do. It is the same thing with us. We have saw in chapter 14 the cost that we need to count, the cross that we need to carry. And it's again, as I said, it might be a stigma to the world, but you never meet a Marine that will never tell you and tell you and tell you he's a Marine. He is so proud of it. It's something that is wonderful. He earned it. A discipleship is the same thing. When you are faced with the issues of life, you need to be able to have that dignity to say, I would not touch that stuff. I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus. With your head lifted up. Not like, oh, I wish I could do that. I wish I'd eat the husk that they are eating. But, you know, the brethren are going to look at me and yell at me. No, I would not do it because of the dignity that I am a disciple of the Lord Jesus and I'm following my master. There is a cost and you need to count it. We told you from the beginning here. I don't want you to walk out of here and say, well, I want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. I want you to sit and think of what's involved in being that. You count the cost. Otherwise, you will be a laughing matter to everybody. And people many times look at you and I say, hey, you're a Christian? Look what you just did. So when you start at school, when you start work, when you go anywhere, just make sure that everybody knows that you are a believer. Introduce yourself, say, your name is so-and-so, and I'm a Christian. Just say that. Because now, you put a stick in the sand. Everybody knows you are a Christian, and you know that everybody knows you are a Christian. You're going to behave totally different all the time. Now we go to 1 Timothy chapter, and I think earlier on, John made the connection between the discipleship and the soldiership in 1 Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And Joe, you made the point earlier about the matter of the grace. And John, you, again, I really appreciate, that's the beauty about Bible reading, guys. Short comments, things coming here from here, everybody's building on everybody. The matter of grace, the matter of the resources that we have to give us that strength. But the point in chapter 2 is really the entanglement. Now, you finish your boot camp, you are out in the world now. You come out of Spruce Lake and you're going to the workplace, you're going to school. The entanglement, and maybe we spend a few minutes talking about what is the duty and the responsibility of the soldier in regard to the matter of entanglement.
I would begin by saying that we're introduced in the verses that we read to the fact that there's an enemy. We're following the Lord and there's cost in that. Now we find that there is an enemy. In chapter 1 we find that all had forsaken the Apostle Paul. And so first, it's because there is this forsaking and an enemy that there's a conduct that is befitting. We find in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, it's not that he's entangled by the enemy. He entangles himself. And so there's a conduct, there's a carefulness that we must have or we will entangle ourselves. And the aim is, who are we serving? We're serving him. And we spoke last hour or the last reading about the pleasures and the things that are fitting, that there is something for us to enjoy in following him. But here, it's not about us. It's about him, that I may please him who has chosen me to be a soldier, a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
If you look in the Canadian Army, you know we're not at war. Nobody's allowed to drink. Nobody's allowed to have sex within the ranks. Even though we're not fighting anybody, it causes dissension and it causes a lack of sobriety, which takes your view off of your goal and your task at hand. And a lot of soldiers are court-martialed for drinking. And in the same thing as Christians, as soldiers for Christ, to entangle yourself would be to drink, smoke weed, to do anything that unsobers your mind, takes away your mental stability and your clear aim at how to use your sword, at how to keep your feet where they're shod. So to do anything that entangles yourself, whether it's another person or in yourself, is harmful to your task.